So I want you to turn to a scripture in Matthew, Matthew chapter 11, verse 27. Very famous passage of scripture. Even if you weren't raised in church or don't go to church, you probably know the scripture. You've heard it probably many times. Matthew 11, 27. Jesus is speaking, and he said, "My Father has entrusted everything to me. No one truly knows the Son except the Father, and no one truly knows the Father except the Son, and those to whom the Son chooses to reveal him." Then Jesus said, "Come to me, all of you who are weary and carry heavy burdens, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you, and let me teach you, because I am humble and gentle at heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy to bear, and the burden I give you is light." In this passage of scripture, Jesus tells all who are weary and burdened to come to him, and he will give them rest. And although Jesus wants to help us in our trials and our situations of life and difficulties and burdens and the things that we go through on a daily basis, he wants to do that. But in this passage, he is speaking more about the heavy burden of the system of works that the Pharisees laid on the backs of the people that Jesus was offering to relieve. He's talking about the heavy burdens that the Pharisees would put on people. Heavy burdens in this passage in the Greek is translated fortuzo, and it actually means burden, but more precisely it means the burdensome requirements of the Mosaic law and of tradition. The burdensome requirements of the Mosaic law and tradition. Here's another way of saying it or defining it: to overburden with ceremony, or, listen to this, spiritual anxiety. To overburden with spiritual anxiety. Can I ask the question, has anybody in this place ever felt spiritual anxiety? Anybody? Later on in Matthew's gospel, Jesus will rebuke the Pharisees for laying heavy burdens on the shoulders of the people. Matthew 23, 4, Jesus said, "They tie up," speaking of the Pharisees, "they tie up heavy burdens hard to bear and lay them on people's shoulders, but they themselves are not willing to move them with their finger." The yoke of the Pharisees is the burdensome yoke of self-righteousness and legalistic law-keeping. It's this burdensome yoke that is placed on the backs of people to keep the law, to keep the religious rites, to fulfill these things that we were never meant to fulfill. It's been said by biblical scholars that the Pharisees added over 600 religious regulations regarding what qualified as working on the Sabbath. 600 is what they added to that. That's a heavy burden. Matthew 22 tells us of the lawyer who asked Jesus what was the greatest commandment of the law. And you can almost read between the lines of the man's question when he asked Jesus this. He said, "What law of all the laws that we have do I absolutely have to keep? What law of all the laws do I absolutely have to keep?" You can almost read between the lines that he was like, this angst in him, like, what law do I have to keep? Because there's so many and it's so hard to do this, but which one do I have to keep? Jesus was saying that any kind of law keeping is burdensome and amounts to a heavy yoke of oppression. Any amount of law keeping is burdensome. Because no amount of law-keeping can bridge the gap between our sinfulness and God's holiness. No amount of law-keeping, no matter how hard you try, can bridge the gap between our sinfulness and God's holiness. It cannot happen. We cannot do it. God says in Isaiah 64, 6, we are all infected and impure with sin. And when we display our righteous deeds, they are nothing but filthy rags. Like autumn leaves, we wither and fall. Our sins sweep us away like the wind. And in Romans 3:20, the word of the Lord says, "For no one can ever be made right with God by doing what the law commands. The law simply shows how sinful we really are." But sadly today, in the church, there are still Pharisees who tie up heavy loads and place them on men's backs. Pharisees still in the church today. These Pharisees in the church today, do you think that the Pharisees disappeared when Jesus was crucified on the cross? They didn't. The Pharisees didn't disappear. They've always been around, and they always will. And sadly today, there are many Pharisees in the church, in the Christian church, who tie up heavy loads and place them on men's backs, and they won't lift a finger to help them move them. They tie these heavy loads up, these self-righteous Pharisees. And people are following these Pharisees. They're listening to them. And they're following them. They'll be the first ones. These Pharisees will be the first ones to tell you, I'm not self-righteous. They'll be the first ones to tell you that they love everybody no matter what. They'll be the first ones to tell you that they love people no matter who they are or where they come from or what's going on in their lives. But the moment that you don't measure up to what their standard is, boom, the heavy load goes on your back. Now, this is going to get hard for a moment, so just listen. It'll get easier in just a moment, all right? But I want you to listen to what the Lord told me to tell us today. See, these Pharisees, they put the heavy load on your back, but they won't help you carry it. In other words, when this heavy load that they place on your back, when you stumble, they're not going to come and help you lift this off your back. They're not going to lift a finger to help you move it. The Pharisees will point a finger at you and accuse you. The Pharisees who put this heavy load on your back will tell you that you should be able to move it. You should be able to carry it. You should be able to stand up underneath this. You should be able to do this. They won't lift a finger to help you move it. In fact, they'll throw another rock on top. Let me put it this way. These Pharisees who tie up the heavy loads and put them on the men's backs, they'll be the first ones to pick up the stones. Come on, y'all. Listen to what I'm saying. I'm preaching the word of the Lord today. Let me show it to you. Let me show it to you in the word of the Lord. Jesus said this in Matthew chapter 8. The Pharisees brought the woman who was caught in adultery to Jesus, and they threw her at his feet. And they had stones in their hands. They were ready to stone her. In fact, they said, "Teacher, what do you say we do? The law of Moses says that we stone her. She was caught in the act of adultery. What do we do? What do you say we should do?" Listen to what they're saying. Teacher, look, the law says that we should stone her. The law says that we should kill her for what she's done. What do you say we do? They were trying to trap him. They weren't looking for a way out. They wanted to kill her. They wanted to stone her. They tied the heavy load up. They put it on her back. And then when she stumbled underneath the weight of it, they're the first ones to pick up the stones and want to crush her with them. Listen to what I'm saying today. And Jesus, our sweet Jesus, our Lord Jesus, got down in the dirt with her. He got down in the dirt with her and started writing in the dirt, the Bible says. Now, I don't know what he wrote. A lot of people speculate what he wrote. I don't really think it matters what he wrote. What matters is that he got back up. And he said, "Okay, you want a stoner? Then the person that's never sinned in their life, you go ahead and throw the first stone. You throw it." And one by one, they dropped their stones from the oldest to the youngest and started walking away. Why? Because they realized that even though they tied up the heavy load and they placed it on her back and then they wanted to kill her because of the heavy load, that they weren't able to because even they would have to be killed under that law. Come on. Jesus said to the woman, this is what he said to her. He said, "Where are your accusers? Did not even one of them condemn you?" And she said, "No, Lord, not one." And he said, "Neither do I. Go and sin no more." That's the burden of Jesus. But listen, these Pharisees, even today in the church, they'll tie up these heavy loads and they'll put them on your back and they won't help you lift a finger to move them. And if you stumble under the load, they'll be the first ones to pick up the stones to stone. shown you with them. Here's the thing about these Pharisees. They'll come up and they'll cozy up to you and they'll put you up on a pedestal and they'll praise you and they'll say all these things about you. But the moment you stumble, they'll be the first ones to say, well, God is turning over pedestals, and they'll kick it out from underneath you. These Pharisees in the church today, they're no different than the Pharisees of that day. They're no different than them. See, I want to say this to you because I know there are people here today, you're probably saying, well, this is not, we're not wrestling against flesh and blood. We're not wrestling against flesh and blood. We're wrestling against spiritual forces in the heavenly realms. I know that. But you need to understand that Jesus, even though we're not wrestling against human beings, Jesus is the one who came to us and warned us about the Pharisees. Jesus himself said, beware of the Pharisees. In fact, he said it multiple times in the scriptures. Multiple times Jesus said, beware of the Pharisees. A few times he warned us to beware of the yeast of the Pharisees and Sadducees. How many remember that? How many read that? Jesus said, beware of the yeast of the Pharisees and Sadducees. Do you know what Jesus was talking about when he was talking about the yeast of the Pharisees and Sadducees? Do you know what he's talking about? Deceptive teaching. Misleading people, confusing people. Deceptive teaching is what he's talking about. In fact, in Matthew chapter 16, the disciples didn't understand what Jesus meant. They thought he was talking about bread because they were hungry. But Jesus said, are you still so ignorant? Are you still so slow? I'm not talking about bread. When I'm talking about the yeast of the Pharisees, I'm talking about deceptive teaching. It's exactly what he said. In other words, Jesus is saying that these Pharisees, you know, that they say one thing, but they don't practice it. They say one thing, but they don't practice what they preach. He's saying they don't practice what they preach. I mean, have you read Matthew 23? Anybody read Matthew 23? The whole book of Matthew 23, the whole chapter of Matthew 23 is about woe to the Pharisees. Woe to you, teachers of the law. Woe to you, Pharisees. Jesus is saying in Matthew 23 that everything they do is for show. They look the part. They talk the part, but inside, beware. Inside is full of greed and self-indulgence. Inside is full of dead man's bones. Beware of the Pharisees. See, the Pharisees will lead you in the wrong direction. The Pharisees will boast about their holiness. They'll boast about their law-keeping. They'll boast about how wonderful they are and how good they are. The Pharisees will boast about how righteous they are. That's what they do. Don't you see how righteous I am? Don't you see how good I am? The Pharisees of today are no different than the Pharisees of that day. The Pharisees of today will make you think that they are holier than anyone else in the room. They'll be the ones that will point a finger at you and throw the stones, but they'll also make you think they're holier than anyone else in the room. The Pharisees will use the word of God to bully you. I don't think y'all listen to me today. I said they'll use the word of God to bully you. That's not Jesus. Jesus never uses his word to beat somebody with. Jesus never uses his word to bully somebody with. Jesus never uses it to hurt somebody with. Jesus is the Word of God, and Jesus uses the Word of God to lift others up, to build others up, to get people out of the dirt, not push them down further into the dirt. But the Pharisees, they're going to use the Word of God to beat you up and to bully you. They'll say things to you like, I know what Jesus said to me. And they'll use it in such a way that if you don't listen to them and follow them, then you must be wrong. You must be sinful. There must be something wrong in your life. I know it sounds harsh. It's going to get better. I promise you. I promise you it's going to get better. Today's Pharisees want to lead a church because they love the titles and they love the place of honor and they love the accolades because they're self-promoting and they want people to pat them on the back. They want to leave the church for that reason, but they don't really want to get down in the dirt with people and love people through their mess. They don't want to get down in the dirt and love them through their mess. Beware of the yeast of the Pharisees. Beware of the yeast of the Pharisees. You know, here's the thing about yeast. It only takes a little bit. How many of you know that? Any bakers in the room? How many know it only takes a little bit of yeast? You better be careful of the yeast. Don't let a little bit fall into the dough if you don't want something to happen to the dough. Oh, y'all, come on. I said, don't let a little bit fall in the dough if you don't want the dough to change. It will change the dough. Look at Galatians 5, 7 through 10. It says this, you were running the race so well. Who has held you back from following the truth? It certainly isn't God, for he is the one who called you to freedom. This false teaching is like a little yeast that spreads through the whole batch of dough. And I'm trusting the Lord to keep you from believing false teachings. God will judge that person, whoever he is, who has been confusing you. Yeast will spread through the whole dough, and once it does, it changes things. Do you know what yeast actually does? Yeast actually consumes the host. It consumes the host. You put yeast in your recipe, what it's going to do is it's going to start consuming the host. Yeast has to feed on the host in order to activate and do what it's supposed to do. Yeast is a fungus, y'all. Hello? Say, yeast is a fungus. And what yeast does is it gets in there. Once you put it in there, it starts feeding on the host. In fact, the most important thing for yeast is sugar. It has to have something like sugar, something sweet. Yeast loves to feed on sugar. Think about this. When I was thinking about this and praying about this and preparing the word, the Lord dropped something in my spirit I've never realized before. But yeast has to feed on sugar. And when it feeds on the sugar, then it expels this gas. And when it expels this gas, it causes whatever it's in to puff up. Oh, come on. Are you going with me here? Are you going with me today? Beware of the yeast of the Pharisees. But here's what the Lord dropped in my spirit. He said, what is my word? What does the word of God say about my word? In Psalm 119, it says, your word is like honey on my lips. Oh, come on. Your word is like honey on my lips. Why did Jesus say, beware of the yeast of the Pharisees? Because that yeast will get in and start consuming the word off of your lips. You will no longer have the word, but have something deceptive instead. You'll no longer have the truth of God's word. If you allow the yeast of the Pharisees to get inside of you, it only takes a little bit, and it will start eating away at the truth. And before you know it, you think you got truth, but all you got is a heavy load. Oh, come on, y'all. This is good right now. I'm telling you, we're going to get free this morning. We're going to get free from these heavy loads, because there's some of you been walking around with a heavy load of self-righteousness. You've been walking around because you feel like this is what you have to do. You feel like, I got to carry this. I got to be perfect. I got to get it all right. I got to cross every T and dot every I. I got to make sure that I don't make any mistakes, because the moment I make a mistake, then I'm going to be cast down into the dirt. The church is going to cast me away. Jesus is going to cast me away. Nobody will care for me anymore. That's a lie from the pit of hell. That's a lie from deceptive teaching. That's the yeast of the Pharisees. That's not how our Jesus works. That's not how he works. Aren't you thankful that's not how he works? We all know, listen, we all know what happens when you get puffed up, right? Come on. Anybody get proud about something before? Anybody get proud about something before? You know what happens to the proud. God opposes the proud, but gives grace to the humble. Beware of the yeast of the Pharisees. So what do? Here's what we do. We come to Jesus. We come to Jesus, and he will take our heavy loads. Oh, it feels so good. Whew. Let me just stretch for a moment here. Oh, that feels so good. That was getting hot too. He will take our heavy loads. What does he mean by that? This is what he means by that. The good news is that Jesus promises to all that come to him that he will give them rest from the heavy load, from the heavy burden, from the heavy weights we've been carrying. He will give us rest from trying to earn our way into heaven, from trying to earn our way into rest, from the oppressive yoke of self-righteousness, legalism, all of those things that we've been trying to carry around for years. Jesus said, I will give you rest from that. He encourages those who are heavy laden to take his yoke upon them. And in so doing, we'll find rest for our souls. The yoke of Jesus is light. His yoke is light. His burden is easy because it is the yoke of repentance and faith. Jesus said, the burden I give you, the yoke I'll give you will be easy. What does it mean? It means just repent and have faith. It's not this heavy, burdensome yoke of works, this heavy, burdensome yoke of self-righteousness, of getting everything right. It's this light yoke of repentance and faith. Come on, we can do that. How many of you have repented before? How many have repented of the sin that you've committed? Okay, now all you have to do is walk in faith. See, what the Pharisees want to do is the moment you make a mistake, they want to throw this heavy load back on your back. But Jesus gave us a burden that's so easy and so light. It doesn't mean that we use this wonderful burden, light burden that he gave us. It doesn't mean we use it as an excuse to continue sinning. In fact, because we don't have the heavy weight and oppression of this yoke anymore, it should make us lighter and want to keep that off our back, to want to walk in faith. I believe that those who truly give their hearts to the Lord and experience this relief of this heavy burden want to follow Jesus more than ever before. How many of you believe that? You just want to follow him. But see, what the Pharisees will do, what the enemy will do, is continually try to put this heaviness back on us, try to put the system of works back on us, the system of self-righteousness that you got to get everything right, and if you don't get everything right, you're going to hell. That's not what Jesus preached. That's not what he taught. It's not what he lived. I just gave you one example about the woman caught in adultery. He didn't point his finger at her. He didn't pick up a stone with the Pharisees and try to stone her. What did he say? He said, where are your accusers? Where are those who condemn you? They're gone. There's not one. And he said, neither do I. That's the beauty of the grace and mercy of Jesus. Amen. So we might think this, we might think, well, there's really no difference between the commandments of Jesus and the Jewish law. I mean, isn't the same God responsible for both? Well, he is. Technically speaking, he is. But if anything, we could even argue that the commands of Jesus could be even more burdensome than the commands of the law. If you've read in the Sermon on the Mount, Jesus said, I didn't come to abolish the law. I came to fulfill it. And if you stopped right there and you didn't know any of his other teachings or anything else that he said, you might be thinking he's agreeing with this heavy yoke, but he's not. Because he went on to say, you say it's wrong to commit adultery. But I say, if you even look at someone with lust, you've committed adultery with them in your heart. You say it's wrong to murder, but I say, even if you call someone a fool, you've murdered them in your heart. Right? That's what Jesus was teaching. And if we look at that with the burdensome weight of the law, then we would say there's no way somebody can stand up underneath it. But see, what makes Jesus' yoke different, what makes his yoke easy and his burden light, is that Jesus accomplished this by his own active obedience. Jesus, in his perfect fulfillment of the law of God, he carried the burden that we were meant to carry. He carried it. He carried that so that we don't have to. Jesus carried the heavy burden. He did all the heavy lifting. He did it all. Even when I didn't see it, he was working. Even when I didn't feel it, he was working. He never stops. He never stops working. He carries the heavy load. He does the heavy lifting. There's no way, if you feel like in your spirit right now, you feel like, man, you've had this ongoing thing that I just have to be perfect. I can't make a mistake. I can't sin. I can't sin. I can't make a mistake. Then you're still trying to carry that heavy load. Stop focusing on not sinning and start focusing on following Jesus. How about we do that? The enemy wants you to keep your eyes on that. Keep your eyes on that. Why? I'm just going to go off topic just for a moment, off notes for a moment, because I feel this from Holy Spirit. Before Jesus came, they would sacrifice animals. They would shed the blood of animals. They'd try to find the most perfect animal that they had, the spotless lamb that they had. And they would bring it, and they would slaughter it, shed its blood, and they would sprinkle it on the mercy seat, and that was supposed to be a remission of sins. And what it did was, what that blood did, that imperfect blood, is it covered up the sin. But the sin was still there. It was still there. It was just covered up. And if you lifted up the covering, the stench of the sin was still there. The sin wasn't removed, it was just covered up by this imperfect blood. But when Jesus came and he shed his perfect blood, his spotless blood, the blood of a sinless man, when he shed that blood, it didn't just cover up the sin. It wrapped it up and it took it away. So it's gone. The sin is gone. And so the enemy would want us to continue to focus on sin that's not even there. Oh, come on. Did you hear what I said? Listen, how many times have you come down to the altar or you prayed a prayer and you gave your heart to the Lord and then you prayed a prayer, Lord, forgive me of the sin and Lord, take this addiction away from me and Lord, remove it completely and you took authority over that addiction. But a week later, your eyes are focused back on that addiction. Why? That's not God taking you there. That's not you just having a brokenness and a flaw inside of you. That's the enemy trying to get your focus back on something that's not even there. Because if he can get your focus, if he can get you to believe that that's still there, then you're going to go right back to it. But if you believe, if you have faith and believe that Jesus took it away as far as the east is from the west, then you're not focused on the sin, you're focused on the Savior. So this is what makes Jesus' yoke easy. On top of that, Holy Spirit lives inside of us. He works in us, molding us, transforming us into the image of Christ. Romans 8, 26 to 27 says, and the Holy Spirit helps us in our weakness. For example, we don't know what God wants us to pray, but the Holy Spirit prays for us with groanings that cannot be expressed in words. And the Father who knows all hearts knows what the Spirit is saying. For the Spirit pleads for us believers in harmony with God's own will. When Holy Spirit works inside of us, not only are we having our faith and our focus on Jesus, not on the sin that's not there, but the focus on Jesus, but also Holy Spirit is working and moving and molding inside of us. Instead of allowing the yeast of the Pharisees to get inside, we've allowed the Spirit of God to get inside, and he also is active and moving and working and permeating our whole being. But instead of consuming the word and taking it away from us, he feeds the word into our hearts. And this is what Jesus wants us to see. See, we've been walking around so uptight, so tense, so weighted down, so heavy with burdens. We've been walking around so heavy with a load that we weren't meant to carry. And Jesus is wanting us to see that you were never meant to carry that. And if you're carrying those burdens and you're carrying that weight, then you're focused on the wrong thing. Take my yoke upon you, for my yoke is easy and my burden is light. Jesus spoke to me clearly a couple weeks ago and said, I just want you to tell my people to take it easy. Take it easy. Would you just take it easy? I'm your Lord, I'm your Savior, I'm your God, is what Jesus is saying to you today. The Lord is saying, I'm your Father, I'm your God, I'm your Savior. I'm the one who was, who is, and who's yet to come. I am the one who is here right now. I am that I am. I can do all things for you. I'll do everything that I promised you I will do. If you'll just take it easy and rest in me, I'll do these things for you. He's declaring to you today, even when you don't see it, he's working. Even when you don't feel it, he's working. He never stops. He never stops working. He's working. He's working right now. He's working in your heart right now. something stirring inside of you, that stirring that you feel that makes you want to get up and shout and run around this room, that's the stirring of the Holy Spirit. Quit fighting the stirring of the Holy Spirit. Quit holding it back. Let him move. Let him be active in your heart. Let him be active in your life. Come on, some of us need to get a little more active with the Holy Spirit. Come on, y'all. Some of us are a little too quiet. Holy Spirit's moving in our heart. He's stirring up the word. I know while I'm preaching this today, you're getting stirred up in your heart. Things are happening inside of you, and he's stirring you up right now. And he's saying, I wish you would get up out of your seat and get a little more stirred up than you are right now, because it looks like you don't believe what the word of the Lord is saying to you today. Come on, y'all. Are we a Pentecostal church or not? Do we believe in the power of the Holy Spirit or not? The scripture I just read to you from Galatians, do we believe that the Holy Spirit utters groanings that cannot be understood by human beings? Do we believe that he speaks through us with the power of God, this deep crying out the deep, Spirit of God in us, crying out the Spirit of God on the throne in heaven, the Spirit of God moving us and working on our behalf to cause all things to work together for the good of those who love him and are called according to his purpose? I mean, is that the God we serve or not? Then somebody get up and shout. Come on. He's able. He is 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 able. Oh, don't stop now. Come on, don't stop now. Did he lift the heavy load of burden off your back? Did he place his yoke upon you? Did he set you free from the pit of sin and despair? Come on. Did he save your family? Did he save your children? Come on, speak it by faith. Speak it by faith. Say, yes, he did. Yes, he did. Yes, he did. Yes, he will. Yes, he will. Yes, he will. This right here is a bunch of garbage and needs to go straight to hell. That's where it came from, and that's where it belongs. So let's quit carrying it around. Let's quit listening to deceptive teaching. Be seated for a moment. I want to speak to live stream. Where am I at? Somebody tell me where I'm at. Am I in this camera right here? Put me right there. I just want to say this because I know there are people watching this. Y'all, God did something really cool about 2 months ago, and we just discovered it this week. And I'm just going to share this, and then I'm going to talk to the camera. Hold on a second, live stream. God did something really cool. Most of our videos on live stream have been, at the most, a couple hundred views. We had one video a few years back that went 12,000 views. But this past week, I was looking through our videos, and I was like, this must be a mistake. 23,000 views. What in the world? Well, hold on. So that's got to be a mistake. What's going on here? Then I started reading, and we had all these comments. We picked up all these subscribers. We had all these likes on the video. It was a sermon that Kim preached 6 years ago called God is Good, God is Great. How many remember that series, God is Good, God is Great? She preached this sermon. It's a great message. If anything's going to blow up, that's the one that needs to blow up. People need to know how good and how great our God is. Amen? So it starts, and I'm looking at it, and there are all these comments, and I don't know what they mean. Like, I don't understand this. And then I started doing a little research, and I found out that there's this gamer on YouTube who has 6.3 million subscribers. And it just so happens he sings this song, God is Good, God is Great, while he's gaming. Now, don't go look him up. I'm not even going to tell you who he is, because he's also says a lot of vulgar things. But he sings God is Good, God is Great, while he's gaming. And all I care about is somehow our video got tagged along with his. Won't he do it? Come on, won't God do it? He'll use whatever he needs to use, right? What the enemy meant for bad, God's going to turn it around and make it good. So somehow, God is good, God is great, got posted on there. And so all of a sudden, we're getting all these views and all these people coming on here and amening and liking and commenting about the message. And we picked up like 100 subscribers this week. And it's still going. Now, so here's what you need to do. Let's help it along. You guys get out there. YouTube, God is good, God is great. Give it a like. If you haven't subscribed to our YouTube channel, you better do it, because there are people that don't even attend this church subscribe to it. God's doing some cool things. So here's what I'm going to say to everybody watching right now. If the word of the Lord is pricking your heart today, is speaking to your heart, if it's permeating your heart, if it's piercing your heart today, because I believe today there are people out there watching, maybe in this congregation and maybe out there, that you've been living a Pharisaical life. You've been living like one of those Pharisees. You've been puffed up with pride and self-righteousness, and your self-righteousness is nothing but filthy rags. But here's the beauty. God wants to take that self-righteousness, and he wants to throw it away, and he wants to place his yoke upon you. His yoke is easy, and his burden is light. He wants to forgive you for all the times that you've judged people and put heavy loads on their backs. He wants you to be set free from the deceptive teaching that you've believed. God will do it if you'll just trust him today. If you'll just look into his eyes right now and say, I'm sorry, Father, forgive me. He will forgive you, and he'll wash all that away, and he'll make you clean, and you will become the son of God, the daughter of God that you were meant to be. Won't you do it today? See, God is good, and he's faithful. He's faithful. I want to end with this. I want the band to come. And we're going to sing this song as we close this out. And I believe once they get to that bridge, even when I don't see it, he's working. Even when I don't feel it, he's working. I believe it's going to take a whole new meaning for us today. Because there have been some people, you've been struggling with this heavy load, this heavy burden for a long time. And it's time today for you to let it go. It's time for today for you to drop it. Let go. Take it easy. Take it easy. Jesus does all the heavy lifting. So I want to put it to you this way. Back to the question that the lawyer asked Jesus, what is the greatest commandment? You know what Jesus' reply was. Jesus said, the greatest commandment is to love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength. But listen to what Jesus said. He didn't stop there. The lawyer asked for what's the greatest commandment. What's the one greatest commandment? Jesus said to love the Lord your God, all your heart, soul, mind, and strength. And then he said, he gave him a bonus answer. He said, the second, you didn't ask for this, but the second is equally important. Love your neighbor as yourself. So I want you to look at the person on your right or your left. Look at the person next to you. I don't care if it's your spouse. Look at the person next to you. Look them deep into the eyes, especially if they're your spouse. Now, I want you to say this to them. Look at them. I want you to say, I want to love you like Jesus loves you. Then say this to them. I want to love you like Jesus loves me. This is what Jesus said. Now, look at me. This is what Jesus said. He said, these are the greatest commandments. I really believe this with all of my heart. If you listen to the word of the Lord, I believe this with all of my heart. What Jesus was saying was, you got this heavy load of all this law and commandments that you're trying to carry around. Well, I took care of that for you. I'm going to take care of all that. That's gone. All I want you to do is love the Father and love people. I promise you, if you love God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength, if you love God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength, and you love your neighbor as yourself, you'll be doing it all. That's all you need to do, because everything else will fall into line. In fact, let me say it to you this way. If you love God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength, it's impossible to not love people. Impossible. If you love God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength, it's impossible to get this thing wrong. You'll be okay. You'll make mistakes, but that's all right. If you love God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength, you get right back up and keep following him. No more heavy loads. No more people trying to beat you down. Listen, if you come up against people like that, love them. Listen to me. Love them, but don't listen to them. We don't wrestle against flesh and blood, but we got to beware of how the enemy is working through flesh and blood. You come up against people that have deceptive teaching like that, that say, I love people, but they really don't love people. You love them, but you don't listen to them. And don't follow them. Follow Jesus. Amen? Amen.